Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, my class, and welcome to the James Rice Show, broadcasting in over 60 countries worldwide with my lovely producer, Stephanie, here in our hometown of Toronto, Canada. Now, I know we did not produce an episode last week, and some of you were like, James, where's the episode? So, there is a new policy here on the James Rice Show. When there is a national holiday, on Mondays, I will be taking the Monday off. Yes, that is a new policy. I do need a little break sometimes. We've been working really, really hard to bring you the best possible podcast each week. So I hope you will allow me to have that holiday off. Okay, so this week, let's start with some news. There's been some news out there. Taiwan has made English an official language. Now, I think that is absolutely fantastic and wonderful, and I hope more countries will be doing this because it allows, the education system to start practicing the English at a much, much younger age, like from kindergarten, grade one, even preschool, that it'll allow parents to put their children into schools that have that language acquisition opportunity. So that is big, big news for Taiwan. Congratulations, Taiwan, and I hope other countries will do the same. Also, you know, what I've been noticing on Facebook recently is that many, many schools are putting their graduations online and some other events too, but a lot of their graduations. And I say, bravo! That is fantastic, language schools out there. That is great, great news. For my students, my past students, you guys all know we started broadcasting our graduation. Gosh, when was it? It had to be maybe 2013. Would that have been the year that we started broadcasting graduations live? And it was a huge hit. It was a huge hit for parents. It was a huge hit for students, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, husbands that were living in the in their home countries. They loved it. So I'm very encouraged by the schools putting their graduations online. You should all be doing it. Should be much, much more Facebook Live out there among the language school systems that you guys have. So get those events online. And as a student, you guys can watch those events and see how the schools look and how the teachers are and how the students are. I mean, all that is valuable. I'm a firm believer that a school needs to be open and transparent. And that means that they have to kind of show everything to students before they arrive. You know, that's important. You want to see it because, you know, when you are a student looking for a school, you got to find a school that matches your personality. I mean, when you're going to study abroad or even locally in your own countries. So you need to find a school that matches your personality. And the best way to do it is through Facebook Live videos, through online graduations, you know, through videos. And Facebook makes it very, very easy for us to do that. So bravo, congratulations to the schools out there that are doing this. I'm very, very happy and encouraged that they're showing a lot of this information. All right, now this week, whew, oh my gosh, what a week. It is the Toronto Film Festival, yes. And as many, and you can maybe hear in my voice, I'm exhausted, yeah. Because as many of you know, I am a film buff. Do you guys remember that idiom? Buff, All right, so it's a big fan. So you can be a movie buff, a film buff. Okay, so I am out at the film festival almost every day. This is the first weekend of the film festival, and it has been huge. It has been huge with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's new film, A Star Is Born, which is getting, you know, some very, very good buzz. Good buzz. All right. Now, this is a new word for you guys. Good buzz. Buzz means positive reviews. So lots and lots of positive reviews. Now, I didn't get to see the movie. It's opening, I think, next month in October. October 6th or something like that. Stephanie's giving me a yes. October. So that is, let's see how she does. I mean, the movie trailer for the movie looks great, and Lady Gaga looks fantastic in it. So it's got great reviews here in Toronto and at some other festivals that it's been playing at. So awesome to see. And you know what? I ran literally. That means really, like, actually happened. I ran into Patricia Clarkson on the street. Yeah, she's a movie star from House of Cards and The Green Mile, the movie The Green Mile. I think she was the wife of Tom Hanks in The Green Mile, and like I just ran into her like right on the street. It was really weird. And then I was there when Timothy Chalamet arrived, ladies. Now, I had no idea how hot this star is. I guess he's really handsome. Ladies, what do you guys think about there? About this guy, Timothy Chalamet. Stephanie, what do you think? She's giving a big thumbs up. He's very handsome. I mean, it was crazy. I don't know who this guy, I didn't realize. I mean, I know who he was, or who he is. I know who he is. You know, he was in a big movie last year. But man, it went crazy. It was absolutely nuts. I can't believe how crazy it was. You know, and I remember a few years back when Johnny Depp came to town, and that was crazy too. And this was a similar type of craziness. It was kind of like the Beatles with, you know, young teenage girls screaming, ah, and Timothy, and it was wild. So he's a big star, you know. Speaking of that Johnny Depp, I got to tell that Johnny Depp story. You know, he was, when he came to Toronto, the Toronto Film Festival, he was actually drunk. You know, actually, I don't know if he was drunk. Maybe he had drugs. I don't know. Something was going on. He did not look normal. And in fact, you know, he was signing so many autographs and he was taking selfies with everybody. And he was being very friendly. I mean, almost too friendly. And the crowd, I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people there. The crowd was almost closing in on him. And you could feel the, you know, kind of tension. And he was not aware of what was going on. He was just, you know, going along, signing autographs, taking selfies. And his security guard grabbed Johnny and picked him up and carried him into the movie theater. I will not forget that moment. And I don't know if he was drunk or a little bit out of control, but, you know, it was a wild, wild scene with Johnny Depp. So, you know, I've met a lot of stars here in Toronto. So check out my Facebook page, facebook.com, of course, / James Rice Show. You can see who I've met. I posted lots of photos up there and enjoyed the tiff, but you could tell from my voice, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. I am so tired. Tiff is exhausting. Also on my Facebook page, don't forget, you guys have been showing lots of love as I post my grammar videos. Yeah, so if you subscribe to the page, you can get all of my latest updates and, of course, the free grammar videos. Yeah, and those have been popular. All right, this week, we are looking at evaluating teachers. Yeah, we're going to study evaluating your teachers. Now, students, from time to time, your school may ask you to do an evaluation of your teacher. And, you know, tell the school what you think about your teacher. Tell the school what you think about your class. Tell your school what you think about the school. Okay, if your school is good, they're going to be doing these evaluations regularly. So it is important that you complete the survey honestly and with some thought. Okay, teachers love this feedback. And sometimes students, you know, are a bit scared to give the teacher the feedback because they don't want the teacher to get in trouble. But teachers want the feedback. They want to know what they can do to improve the class or improve your experience. And if it's a good school that you're going to, a positive school, they will also want to know your feedback. But don't just give, you know, your problems. Give your good points as well, good and bad points, you know. Give ideas. Don't just complain only, okay? So that's one tool that I know schools and teachers look at. Now, part of the reason why we're looking at the subject of evaluating teachers is because there is a university here in Canada that is in a dispute. They're fighting with their teachers about how to evaluate them, okay? So an arbitrator, which is kind of a judge, it's like a not in a court, but it's kind of outside of a court. He's called an arbitrator, and he listens to both sides. He or she listens to both sides, and he said that it is, this is an exact quote, probably impossible to precisely or exactly measure teaching effectiveness. Okay, so it's impossible to measure how effective a teacher is. And I thought, impossible. I mean, sure, there is never, you know, a 100% way to evaluate someone in any job, in anything you're doing. But nothing is obviously perfect. But impossible? Impossible? You know, I don't think it's impossible, you know. So we're going to talk about that a little more in teacher talk. So we're going to discuss how to do that. And there are some ways that I like to do evaluations. One is through student evaluations, and that's the surveys that I mentioned, giving to the teachers. But this can be a little bit unreliable because it sometimes can be a popularity contest, and sometimes the students are afraid to share their opinions. Another way that schools evaluate is based on how well the students do on their tests. Now, that is a little bit unfair and a little controversial, where the students are given standardized testing, or they're doing a TOEFL or an IELTS, and those teachers are evaluated based on the numbers that the students get. So not a big fan of that type of evaluation. I don't think it's fair to teachers at all that the results of a test should be the way that their job is determined. And then, of course, the other most popular method is in-class evaluations. And that's where a trainer goes into a classroom to observe a teacher. And if you've been studying in English class, studying abroad, or even in your own countries, you've probably seen maybe the academic director or the head teacher come into the class and sit down at the back of the room and observe a teacher. Now, I've done that myself. I've been a part of that. I've been evaluated that way. It's natural to do it this way, but I think there is another method that might be just as good, if not better, okay? And that way is using video observations. Yeah, video observations. And we're going to talk to Diana Rikiki. She's a teacher trainer in Europe and Canada, and she's going to talk about using videos to evaluate the teachers. Now, teachers are going, what? A video in my class? Now, hold on, teachers. All right, hold on. Listen to teacher talk about how we did it in the past and how amazing it was. Yeah, it was. So there are tools out there that make evaluations possible, not impossible to evaluate teachers. Okay, Stephanie. All right, let's take a look at who's listening to us out there. we have a new number one country this week. Yeah, new number one. Stephanie, hit the music. Our new number one country is Mexico. Yeah, Mexicanas. All right. You guys are finally the number one listeners of The James Rice Show. Last week, you guys tuned in the most. Wow. Big in Mexico. Number two, Brazil. All right, my Brazilian friends. Welcome back to The James Rice Show. You guys are still hanging in there. Number two, you can't get back up to that number one spot. You guys keep trying. Number three, US of A. Number four, Canada. And number five, returning to the top five, is Japan. Welcome back, my Japanese friends, to the top five. You guys dropped out there for a while, but pop back in. Yeah, so our show is broadcasting in over 67 countries. And oh, Stephanie's telling me we have a new country. Yeah, new country. Stephanie's holding up. Kenya. All right. More Africa. We're filling in with our African countries. So some new listeners from Kenya. Welcome. You know, Kenya and Nigeria are really, really doing well in Africa. More and more younger students, especially high school students, are traveling abroad. So a lot of interest from Kenya and Nigeria, and especially into Canada. So that's great. Welcome. Welcome, guys, to the James Rice Show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out the website, www.thejamesriceshow. We have a lot of content on each episode page, so you can get some great teaching ideas, or you can practice your English more by studying about the topics that we discuss here on the podcast. And I know many teachers are using our show as kind of a pre-listening activity for students before getting into the discussion topic that they want to have. And especially teacher training, they listen to the teacher talk sections, or if they want to do idioms, or if they just want to talk about one of the topics that we're talking about. So that's awesome. That's awesome. And of course, on the Facebook page, James Rice Show, don't forget, send us a message. Tell us what you're thinking. And we've got those free grammar videos. You know, and I got to say, we tried YouTube, but the response to our videos has been much, much better on Facebook. You know, a lot more people are watching. I think one of our videos has over 30,000 views. And that's amazing. That's great, you know. So we're going to try to put them up on YouTube as well. But we're probably going to be putting them up on Facebook a little faster. So if you want to catch those short video grammar videos, you can catch that on the Facebook page, James Rice Show. And don't forget, yeah, thank you for the comments too. Thank you so much for those comments. That's awesome. Now the videos are a little bit older, but the content is fantastic. And hey, it's free, you know, free English lesson. So it's good. All right. So coming up next, we have the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
It is back to school time here in North America, so I thought I would take a look at some idioms that use the word back. Now, back is a body part, right? You know, it's under your head, above your bum. It's your back, all right? So like, oh, my back really hurts. And that's very common use of back. But there are many back phrasal verbs as well as idioms. So some back phrasal verbs are get back, which means, you know, look out, kind of, there's danger ahead. Or when you are going reverse in your car, okay, so driving backwards, you would say, back up, go in reverse when you're driving. Or put back, you know, and that means to return something. Put back that candy, my mother used to say. So return that candy. Don't eat it. Return it. Or step back. So take a step backwards, okay? Take one step back. Or payback. Yeah, payback. Return money to someone. It also means revenge. Yeah, it's payback time. I'm going to get my revenge. Yeah, so the word back is unbelievable. It has many, 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 many meanings, and it has many phrasal verbs, and it has many idioms. All right, and so here are my kind of top five useful back idioms. All right, number five, laid back. Yeah, laid back means kind of a relaxed attitude. I'm usually laid back on my vacation. There is a great song called Laid Back and Key Wasted. If you haven't heard it, it's got great attitude. Laid Back and Key Wasted. Check that out. And we should play that. That's a good song. So it's kind of a relaxed song, like you're on an island, you know, you're laid back. All right. Number two, never look back. And this is an expression that means, you know, forget about the past. Look to the future. All right. The past is over. It's done. Now and the future is what you need to think about. So never look back. All right. Next one. Number three. Back to the basics. Stephanie, I think we used this one before, maybe. I can't remember. Back to the basics. This one looks familiar to us. This expression means that sometimes in life, we make things really, really complicated and difficult. So we need to sometimes just make things simple. All right? Keep it simple. Get back to the basics. All right? Taking something complicated and going back to the beginning, kind of step one, and doing it again, back to the basics. All right, next one, number two, I like this one, stabbed in the back. Yeah, this one is a bad one. This one's a really bad one. So if your friend, coworker, girlfriend, boyfriend betrays you, cheats on you, hurts you secretly, or perhaps gossips about you, tells lies about you, then we say they stabbed you in the back. All right, they're not your friend anymore. They've been doing things, you know, behind your back, which is another one, behind your back, and they've stabbed you with a knife in the back. Ah! And that's ultimate betrayal. So that's a really good one. All right, the number one, my favorite back idiom is backseat driver. Yeah, oh yeah, you guys, you men out there know this one. That's the person who usually is in the back seat, but it could be, you know, somebody sitting beside you. I won't say who, ladies, but who's always complaining about your driving. Yes, all right, so, oh, you're driving too fast, you're driving too slow, be careful, ah! Shut up, stop being a backseat driver. So, my students, never look back on life. Do your best. And if you can't understand something, get back to the basics. Because once you are successful, you can enjoy your life and be laid back forever. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
We
We are pleased to welcome Diana Rikiki to the show. Welcome, Diana.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Diana has been a teacher trainer and academic director for over 10 years, both in Europe and in Canada. And she's here to share with us some of her thoughts on how to evaluate the teachers. Yeah. So what do you think? What are some of the best ways to evaluate teachers in today's society?
It's a really, really tough question and a very difficult task. Measuring teaching is something that I find very difficult to qualify or to quantify. And so I believe that watching somebody as they work and helping them to get through whatever challenges that are observed during that session, whether it be part of a lesson or a complete lesson, is the way to go. I believe that constant coaching and mentoring is really the only way to help someone improve their teaching skills.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also essentially trust within the organization, trust between administration and the teaching staff is really critical, so that they know they're being evaluated and not being evaluated, but rather coached and helped rather than having their jobs on the line. You know what I mean?
I do, and I totally agree with that. I know that there are many school boards, especially in the United States, regular school, high school, middle school, etc., that really do tie the test scores to the viability of any given teacher. And I believe that that is completely unfair because that can deal with where you're located, the type of students you have, if they are underprivileged students, if you have learning disability students in your class. It really puts teachers at a disadvantage.
Do you think there is a way to quantify teachers realistically with a number?
I actually don't even believe there is a way to quantify students and what they've learned. I don't believe in testing for the sake of testing. I believe that tests were developed in order to make parents or administrators feel good about the programs that are being taught. But I really don't believe in testing for students or teachers.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm a big fan on the portfolios for students. I think that shows the overall
portfolios.
Any type of portfolio, whether you want to have a written portfolio, a digital portfolio, which we can do now. But we talked about that a little bit on the show before. And but what do you think? We tried, you know, and Diana has just for disclosure, full disclosure, Diana has worked with me in my school when we had it in we're running it in Toronto. And she and I came up with the thought to try to do video assessment of teachers. So could you explain a little bit about the theory that we came up with to have the video assessments of teachers?
Well, I think it's very common in many teaching situations where there is ongoing training offered within the institution that some kind of overseer or director would sit in on a classroom and watch teachers as they go about their job and make notes and be able to then coach them.
That's very, very intimidating, yes?
It is very intimidating.
To have your boss come in to your classroom.
Exactly. It's your boss or your direct superior or whatever the dynamic may be. So it can be pretty scary, especially for a new teacher or an inexperienced teacher. The students also don't know how to act in the situation. So everything is a little bit forced.
And yeah, and the students often are very good, yeah?
Too good.
Yeah.
They sit up straight, they put up their hands, and these are things that don't normally happen,
right,
especially in an adult learning environment.
Yeah, because they don't want the teacher to get into trouble.
Exactly. They become very attached to the teacher, and they want to help make a good impression.
Right.
So what we decided was we would put some sort of recording device. Now, I know that in the past, other schools have done this. I did this when I was becoming a teacher, when I was training to become a teacher myself. They've video recorded us with an old JVC machine. Now it's old. At the time, it was cutting edge. and then we would have to watch ourselves, and everybody was very shy about their body image and their verbal tics and all that. So basically, it's the same thing, only it's a little bit less intrusive in that we were able to place an iPad on a stand and kind of hide it in the corner of the room. And that did the recording for us. So I had the option at the time of watching live from my desk if I did have the time to dedicate at that particular moment, or of watching it later, making notes, and then reviewing some of the finer points with the teacher in question. Most of the time, teachers...
Sorry, just to jump in there, because that's a really good point that you kind of dropped in there. One of the things, of course, for me as an administrator of the school was having Diana sit in on every teacher for an hour or 2 hours, because ideally you want to stay for the entire class, right? You don't want to pop in for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You want to stay for a full 90-minute or 2-hour class. But as an administrator, that's taking somebody of Diana's value out of her job, out of her work, becomes a cost issue, right? I mean, how do you always have somebody going around to watch teachers for 2 hours a day? I mean, that's all they're doing.
Giving
feedback. So that was a good point, that you could watch from your desk and, you know, do other tasks that you were doing. And you could even move away from your desk and take care of issues and come back and know that that is still being recorded. Yes. So from my perspective as an administrator, and I know teachers don't want to sometimes hear that, but I mean, you have other jobs that you were needed to do. And that was very, very important option for me, because having you go in to watch a class for 2 hours was not the best way for me to use your time.
Well, sure. Also, because there are large swaths of the class, especially in a class that would be 2 hours long, where students are working together on something. And so there's not a lot to observe apart from how the teacher interacts with the students during that group of phase. So it could be seen from the outside or from the people who are not familiar with what happens in a classroom as a waste of time and therefore a waste of money.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's valuable, but I think, you know, it's important that you view that, but there are ways that we could, you know, fast forward through some of those.
Exactly.
Of video. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Continue on.
Okay. So, well, what we found was that both the teacher and the students, after the initial shock of seeing this contraption in the corner of their room, actually really just forgot about it and became more natural as the time of the classroom went on. And so we did get to see a much more realistic version of what happens in a classroom on any given day.
And did you notice anything different that maybe you wouldn't have picked up as an evaluator?
Well, that's kind of a trick question, because in order to know the answer to that, you would have had to sit in the classroom one time and then maybe not sit and view via video another time. So I don't know really that I could answer that question.
I mean, I think the idea is that would you have a better experience staying in, or was it the same experience? I guess maybe if I could rephrase it.
Okay. I for me, as the person observing, I have to say that it was a better experience for me.
It was better. You found the video was better for you.
Yes, I did, because I could actually go back and check. Sometimes you miss things because you're writing them down.
Right.
Something happens. And so it's like having a PVR. If you can't really understand what somebody said, you can roll it back and listen again. And this goes for both what the teacher was trying to execute and what the students were doing at the same time.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And I assume you did that as well with the teachers, so they could, because sometimes you're in the class and although you think you hear what the students say, it could be something that they didn't say, you know.
In fact, I did use that a lot personally in an ESL classroom where we did have people from different backgrounds. So it wasn't just one group of people studying together, and therefore they could whisper to each other in their own language. After you get to know the accents and the word preferences and perhaps even the syntax of your different groups of students, you can almost anticipate what they're going to say at certain times. And so when a younger, newer, fresher unexperienced teacher comes in and they don't quite have the ear developed yet to the Brazilian accent or the Mexican accent or the way that Japanese people put their sentences together, etc., they can find themselves in difficulty, the teacher. And so I actually very often used what students said and asked the teacher to listen again and try to come up with a different interpretation of what they believed initially the answer was. And so I also helped teachers develop their ear so that they could help their different groups of students better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because oftentimes as a new teacher, you kind of rush your class. You kind of rush things along, and you need to kind of slow down a bit and listen to what the students are trying to say. Oftentimes they may be making errors there and they're trying to say it. So with the video, you could kind of go back and evaluate what they're trying to say, especially with the younger or newer teachers. How about the older teachers, the more experienced teachers who might say, hey, I don't want to be evaluated or coached, or I don't want a video in my classroom, having Big Brother watching me. What was the reaction there?
To be honest, I never really got that much of an opposition to the exercise. It was always done with enough warning. There were never surprises like, hey, by the way, today we're going to observe you, because I don't believe that that's fair. So people, even though they weren't crazy about the idea, they did accept it quite well.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. I mean, I think when you introduced it, what was the reaction?
It was, really? You're going to do what?
Yeah.
And then we did it a couple of times, and I can't remember who the first teachers were that we experimented this on, but there was no bad feedback from them to the other teachers on staff.
Right.
And so it just kind of became the norm and nobody questioned it.
Right. Yeah. And I think anytime you're introducing any type of new change or new technology or something different, you need to have the support of one or two teachers who are willing to try. You know, if there's such a backlash from all the teachers, then you're going to have a problem. So I think trying to suss out which teacher might be open to the concept was a good plan of attack.
And there was always the speech beforehand that I made sure to make help the teachers understand that this was for training purposes only. These videos would not be archived. We would not use anything in this video to hurt or in any way harm their career, that they would be deleted immediately after our feedback session. So I think that helped as well. People obviously tend to get a little bit nervous when they believe that their image is going to be saved for eternity, because they don't have control over what happens with that afterwards.
Except me. You can use my image anywhere. That's okay. The problem is nobody wants to use my image.
Well, that's a different issue.
That's a different issue. Now, so the reaction was they were a bit reticent at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Did anybody want the video? Like, did you share the video with them?
Yes, after? There was a video link available, and I did encourage instructors to watch their own video before our feedback session. Because my first question was always, okay, now that you've watched yourself, give yourself some advice. And then we would compare what they picked up about their lesson and what I picked up about their lesson. Sometimes we picked up on many of the same points. Other times we were completely opposite or different. And either way, it was a great learning experience.
And what did the teachers sort of pick out about themselves? Because I kind of think, like, if I were teaching and I saw the video, I might go, oh my God, look at my hands, or look at the way I'm dressed, or look at the way I'm writing on the board. I mean, a little more, you know, vanity as opposed to actual, actual teaching issues. You got to look at yourself that way, right?
Yes.
Was that part of the reaction?
Yes, and in fact, that's why I always invited the instructors to watch themselves a few times before we went through things, the two of us, because people do need that moment to get over themselves. Um, if, uh, if I could put it that way. Everyone is always looking at, oh my goodness, look at my hair. Oh, yeah. I should have cut my nails that day. Oh, my writing on the board is so bad. Yeah. After you've watched it 3 or 4 times, you tend to forget those things and hone in on what the real reason for the recording is. And then they'll realize things like, oh, I do talk too much, or, oh, I don't enunciate enough, or whatever their particular challenges for the day would be.
Now, were you shooting the students as well, their faces and things?
Well, because it was a static camera, let's say, it was just something stuck in the corner of the room. Yes, I did try to point the viewer to where the teacher would be mostly. The teachers in that school did move around a lot, or they were encouraged to do so. So a lot of times you would only hear what was happening and not actually see. But yes, I tried to get in the frame as many students as possible as well.
And I think you also tried to, you shot them from behind, so their faces were not shown.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we were very careful about that perspective, that we were shooting the teacher, not the students.
And the backs of heads, yes, of students.
Because I think students were also consulted on this, were they not?
Absolutely, yes. And they were told the same thing. We're not going to keep this video. It's solely for the purpose of coaching and mentoring, and then that the video would be deleted.
And what were the students' reactions?
Really, it depends on their own personal or on their personalities. Many times they would just randomly in the middle of the lesson stand in front of the camera and make a face and then walk away.
Some of the class clowns, yes, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. Other times they would do everything possible to avoid being in the shot. But more often than not, they just got on with the business of whatever the teacher requested of them during the class, and they executed that.
And certainly the first time I can see that. Now, you did try kind of multiple times. So were the students and the teachers, did you notice a more comfortable factor as you had kind of grown to implement this system of evaluation?
With the teachers, definitely. It, as I said before, it just became the new norm and it wasn't really an issue. With the students, because there was always new intake, I found that we had to explain every time to the students and make sure that the new students in that particular group knew the rules of the road, per se, and that it wasn't about them. It was about helping the teacher. And what was funny is that sometimes the students would, as we said before, really get worried about their own teacher, and they were super excellent students during the video. And then after the video was stopped, they would go to the teacher in secret and say, like, are you okay? Is this some kind of punishment? Are they trying to fire you? You know, I answered all the questions. Did I do well? So there was a real bonding experience for some of the teachers and students because of this.
Wow, that's interesting. Interesting, yeah. And so you felt that overall, did this help the teachers as they worked through? After we kind of got over that, you know, initial reticent at the beginning, do you think it was a helpful technique?
I believe so. I also believe that I was able to make people comfortable enough that with the idea that sometimes, not often, but sometimes there would even be a request. Hey, I'm doing something new today. Could you set this up for half an hour in my class so that we can see if it worked well or not? Yeah, wow. That happened with 2 teachers, I remember.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And I think that's a fantastic idea. Even if the administration is not doing it, I think it's a great idea for teachers just to teach themselves.
Yes,
if you're doing an activity, you could video yourself and see how well the activity went, or see how well you know, because you could also show that to the administration. You know what I mean? Sure. Sometimes you have the opposite effect, and this is where you have an administration that maybe doesn't trust the teachers and maybe has an evaluation technique that you think is unfair, mm-hmm. that you think you're doing a great job, and you could set up the video in your own class, you know?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
In defense,
Yeah, to show them what's actually happening in the class. I mean, those are amazing opportunities. And we actually, you know, we use, as we are talking over the internet, a lot of things like the Skype and the things like that, where you can shoot videos and shoot what's going on in the classroom to show people. That's fantastic. What do you think? Any other evaluation techniques out there that you found useful for people who are maybe listening and, you know, just sort of help teachers understand the perspective of the teacher trainer?
I do believe that it's important for any teacher, no matter their level of expertise, to sit in on other teachers' classes and peer evaluate. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to give feedback, especially if you are a first year teacher, for example, watching a more experienced teacher. But it constant upgrading of skills is necessary for the classroom, or you will get bored. And if you are bored, your students will be bored, trust me. And so anything that you can get from your peers, from your colleagues, is just as good, if maybe even better, than what your superior or mentor or director could give you oftentimes.
Yeah, I agree. And we talked about on the show, you know, sharing is caring, and trying to create an environment of where teachers can share amongst each other, you know, makes for a better school, makes for a better class, makes for a better student
environment.
Ultimately, you know, makes the best teacher possible if you're willing to share. And that's really critical to have the senior teachers, you know, help out those junior teachers, and not just keep everything in a binder locked away. And, James is so popular, but, you know, Bill is not, you know, it's just unfair. You know, if you can help those newer teachers to the school.
But I also think that the more senior teachers, as you so gracefully put it, can benefit from some of the younger teachers as well. A lot of times older teachers, the term we use is they get fossilized. They know things so well that they do it, let's say, without passion or without desire anymore. And it's almost like they can't learn anything new. So they're still using the same games and tricks and exercises that they've been using for years. And it's almost like calling it in. And you can't do that in a classroom.
Yeah, certainly we experienced that when we introduced the iPads into the school structure. Certainly the senior teachers there were like, well, I'm not changing my style, man. Yeah. I'm not changing, James. And you have to adapt and change and try new things, because certainly for me, when I started teaching with the iPad, it was mind blowing. I mean, my whole technique, all the strategies that I used, you know, went out the window.
Yeah.
And, I remember, you know, trying to draw a blouse on the board. You know, you get the old technique, the old technique of drawing a blouse. Like, what's a blouse, James? Okay, well, let me draw it on the board. That's kind of your first instinct pre-technology, right? You draw a blouse and a shirt, and you show the difference, right? And I turned around, and one of the students had a iPad or an iPhone, and they just found a picture of a blouse.
Yeah,
done in a second, 2 seconds. Me exactly. Trying to explain this in a minute. So, you know, that's where the new technology, some of the new things that are out there that kids are aware of, especially can help you as a teacher. Students often taught me, you know, great techniques to use as well. So the students are a great resource as well.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Diana, for joining us today on the James Rice Show. It's a pleasure to get your perspective on how to evaluate the teachers.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
That was an interesting discussion with Diana about training teachers. And I hope that we can help some of you head teachers, academic directors, school owners, even teachers. You know what, teachers? Bring this idea to your administration if you like it. And even students, tell your teachers to listen to this, because that is some good information. And at the beginning of the show, they said it was impossible to evaluate teachers. And I think Diana proves them wrong. And I agree with Diana in a lot of sense that we're not evaluating, but we're coaching. As teachers, you should never, ever stop learning. There's always, always new ways to learn and improve your class. I mean, when I brought in the iPad into my classroom for the very first time, I was overwhelmed with what I could do with this new tool. And there's a lot of new tools out there. There's so many new tools. It's almost overwhelming for teachers. And teachers, my advice to you is to basically say, pick a few of the tools that you like and you're comfortable with and bring those into the class. And for me, it was the iPad that, really changed my teaching style. And it gave me a lot more opportunity to do project-based learning and flipping the classroom, which I really, really love to do and now. But I mean, it was a process to learn how to do project-based learning and how to flip the class. And you can hear some of my past episodes about how to flip grammar classes and how to flip pronunciation classes as well. So there's some good information there. All right, Stephanie is giving me the, it's time to end the show, James. We're a little bit over schedule today. So over time, I'm still recovering from TIFF, guys. I'm still at Toronto Film Festival. So give me a break here, guys, with my interviews and my language. Anyways, Stephanie's in. Shut up, James. Okay, we got to close out the show. And thank you guys for listening. As always, it's a great pleasure to bring the show to you each week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.